to the microphone. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I'm glad to be here, and I have my family here, some of them. Not all of them. We're missing somebody. But my wife is here. Let me start with my baby. That's all right. Stand up, baby. Nah, not you. Nah, you're... yeah, you're a baby too. But let's start with Priscilla. Priscilla, can you say your name and where you go to school and what you're doing very quickly? All right, are you saved? Okay, that's greater than your major, praise the Lord. I have another daughter seated there. Stand up, young lady. Name? Amen. You all know Bishop Mude from Kiambu. And that's my daughter's best friend. And so it's not easy to be a friend of a Mokorino. It's kind of, we're very demanding in terms of spiritual. not just everybody. I just have to throw that in. David is here. Amen. David is, he's good. He goes to UNT. He's also teaching with me at Wiley College. He's a professor of history and political science. And we're just happy that we share the same room, and now I can catch up on my being a father. When he is not working on his dissertation, we talk. It's good. This year has been awesome. Just catching up on what, school stole from us, being together. Now, with him working as a professor in my school, it has given me that opportunity. I have another son, as you are aware. Mudo wito kuriawa jogona. Kuriawa jogona. Where are you? Amen. I love that young man. It's my son. Many of you don't know. Ezra's father is my age mate. He's my, we grew together in our church, and we are very, very close. Matter of fact, he and his parents and other six couples, we formed an organization called 10 couples, 10? 8 couples. It's called 8 Couples Welfare Group that now owns millions of dollars, shillings, And I thank God for that. Just young men that we grew up in. You know, when you grow up, like you're here in this church and you're growing together as young men, you really want to work together and live together. And that's what we did with Ezra's father and some other couples, and we came together. We said we were leading the Akolino youth for 10 years. Now we had given it to the other generation, and we had kind of stepped out. I was a pastor, and we decided let's do something to come together. And God has done wonders through that organization. So Ezra happens to be my son, and I was invited by your pastor. Pastor, I just love you. You minister to me more than I minister to you. And I know sometimes you may not think of realize it, but you do minister to me. It's a blessing to see young blood in ministry. You know, if I had another life, I would give it all to ministry. It's a great choice. And when he invited me here to preach the gospel, I could not hesitate to come, not only to celebrate with Ezra later this afternoon, but also particularly to hear the word of God. And I know somebody is ready to hear the word. I don't know about you, but for me, the word is supreme. The word of God is greater than anything that you can think about. This word, the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. The Bible said, Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. Philosophy will tell you that this world is in a state of flux. That was not said today. That was said 400 years before Christ. Philosophers said the world is in a state of flux. It has never been in any other state. It's changed and being changed. And in that confusion, we look for one constant. And that constant is this word, y'all. The word of God. Everything else will come to an end, but this word will last. So I would like to share with you something, and let me confess that I don't preach anything that has not been preaching to me. That's a rule I got from my elders. Don't take it to the people so that it can change them before it has changed you. Let it work on you first. Then when it has done its work in you, then you can take it out and it can begin to minister to others. This word has ministered to me. And so I want to share it with you. If you will allow us to read together 2 Chronicles 20, verses 18 and 22. And then we will go to Acts chapter 16. Beginning to read at verse 23 through 26. But I'm going to start with 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you have it, say amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18. Got it, anybody? I hear pages turning. All right. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Somebody say worship. Jehoshaphat, actually that word is it means Jehovah Shaphat. The Lord is the judge. Shophet is judge. Shophet. That's why the book of Judges is called Shophet, the Shophetim in Hebrew. So Jehovah is the judge, Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping him. And the Levites, these are the priests, of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now listen to the superlative adjectives there. They praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice. As if that was not to say enough, he adds on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, this guy was a preacher kind of, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established." Somebody need to hear that. You've been struggling trying to establish yourself. You've been struggling trying to become something. Here is your word this morning. Believe in God. Then you will be established. And then he said, "Believe his prophets. You shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, Now, these people are going to war, by the way. They're preparing for war. Somebody preparing for war. They're preparing for war. Look at how he prepared. He appointed singers. This guy must be out of it. He's not appointing archers who know how to throw arrows. Not gunmen. Not people who are pinpoint marksmen. But he appoints singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And to say, this is what they are supposed to say as they go towards the enemy. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Somebody is going to the bank to get a loan. And the bank manager is saying, no, you're not qualified. You're not even American. And you walk into that bank and you are saying, praise the Lord, for his mercies endure forever. I'm just telling you how to open doors that are closed for you. Just take that name of Jesus with you. And when they began to sing and to praise, these are soldiers. You think what are the enemies thinking? These people are supposed to come shooting arrows and spears and grenades and what have you. But look at these fools. Let's wait and see what are they gonna do next. Oh my goodness! It was quite a conundrum. These people are singing; they're not even holding spears. The people who are leading them have drums and kayambers and stringed instruments. But when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Acts 16 and 23. Paul and Silas have been put in prison. What do they do? They were preaching the gospel, and here come a crazy, insane, mad cuckoo woman. And she begins to say some things against the people of God. And you see, Paul healed this person, this woman. And because of that, he was put in jail. I don't have time to explain all that, but let's go to the text, Acts 16. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, that's Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Keep him safely. It's like they would run away. This is insane, look. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. As if that was not enough, what did they do? They made their feet fast in the stock. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. let me coast there just a little bit and tell you about prisons back in antiquity. History tells us that when you were in prison, the first thing you're doing is you feed yourself. They did not feed them back then. You feed yourself. That's why the church was known in taking care of its own who are arrested. Because, you know, when you are arrested, you have to feed yourself. The authorities did not feed you. The authorities didn't clothe you. Now, they did not have the modern conveniences of prisons that we have today. If you wanted to do your little something at the corner, that's where you went. There was no bed. They had straw. Can you imagine straw that has not been changed for a month and you got drunks and murderers and all sorts of people and they've been, you know, helping themselves there. The place is
You got it. It's stinking. And you're having to find a dry spot to lay your cuckers. And that's the situation. It's like a sty, if you will. It's like a pig pen. And these people have been put in there for healing one of the people in the city. And what do they do at midnight? They don't complain about, now, Lord, look what we've been preaching your word. Now we are here. We are. These people begin to pray. Paul, what you think? Silas? Man, this place stinks. Yeah, it does. My legs, I have no circulation. Oh, no, they started praising the Lord at midnight. You got a drunk who's been drunk the whole day on the other side, and he's trying to get some sleep. Ah, shut up! I'm trying to paint the scene in the prison. Shut up back there! Hush! No, they did not listen. They just went on and praised the Lord. And the Bible says what? The Bible says here, in verse 26, and suddenly, somebody says suddenly. You know, sometimes when you are in trouble and you really need help, you need the suddenly. There is only way to bring, one way to bring the suddenly is to worship in your situation. If you want help right there, right now, the way to bring the suddenly, somebody say, bring the suddenly. It's to worship. Don't think about your situation. Don't focus on your negativity. Don't focus on your frailties and weaknesses and the situation that you happen to be in. Just say, ha ha, this is a good time to just begin praising the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I'm reminded of my own parents who, if you made the mistake of becoming Pentecostal, Mocorino, that's what they were in 1950s during the state of emergency in Kenya. If you are foolish enough to join that church, then you will become a jailbird, obviously. The church was proscribed by the government. It was illegal. And therefore, any meeting was an illegal meeting. And then the Acolino could not have quiet services. How more can you be ignorant? You're being hunted and you're drumming and shouting. And you can't sing like everybody else. You insist on singing. Hello, they're looking for you. So every Sunday, there was to be an arrest somewhere. But the people are so foolish that when an arrest was made at a certain location and they were locked in the police station, then all the believers in that location would go to the police station. And they would stand at the police at the gate and began to sing. You know how we sing. Hey, nyamasariuku! Why have you come? They just decided to make the prison system unworkable. You just have to free these people, you British. You know, fighting the system from within. All of us, with our children, even me, I went on my mother's back. My mother tells me how stuffy it was. There was a little bucket at the corner, you know, and a blanket. You know how you do your thing. You cover yourself at the corner. Everybody's here, you know, like 50 people, one bucket, the whole night. Uh-uh, Forget that. How about singing right now? It's time for church. Let's have church, y'all. And they would have church, and the cops would come in and say, hey, nyamazani hukudani. You can't do that. They just sung. And people got saved there. I'm talking about the suddenly comes when you worship. When you worship, the suddenly comes. I just thank the Lord that you know, God has seen your struggle. If there are people on earth that really struggle, it is the immigrants who have come to this nation. It is us people. I'm telling you, the way we work, oh my God, we work like horses. Americans quit jobs to go to school. We get a job to go to school. We pull doubles to keep ourselves in school and our kids in school. Am I right? Yes. God has seen our struggle. Amen. Oh my goodness, God has seen our struggle. And you're trying to get yours to earn a living. That's us. Oh my God. That's us. We have to survive. We gotta make it. But God has seen our struggle. Amen. God has seen us, our survival, you know, antics, the way we struggle, the way we try to make it. I tell people, even brother, even when back in the day when they used to marry four women, there are no four wives that would match this woman right here. This woman will pull a double and go to church. Jesus Christ. She will pull a double and go to school. That's Kenyan. That's us. Somebody say, that's us. That's us. That's what we're made of. That's what we're made of. I know some people have issues when we give testimonies of what God has done to us. But one day we were doing taxes and the white man is looking at our papers. Looking. What has he seen? You know what I'm saying? Man, the man looked, am I kidding? He looked for almost 10 minutes. I began to sweat. Sir, are these your, because I had to take my, what do you call, transcript. Because I'm also claiming that I'm a student. My wife has a transcript because she's a student. I have my son's transcript. I'm claiming him as my son. And I have all my kids' transcripts. I'm claiming them. But the kids have also worked. That is what he cannot figure. The question was, how can these kids make these grades? And bring these W-2s, grades. He was lost. And I'm looking for that question to come out of the man. Okay. Amen. He cannot, the math is not adding. The A's and B's and a please. Those of you that are weak will be thinking that I'm talking about my children. You will get lost like that white man. Yeah. I'm talking about my God, who is no rewarder of any person. He is no, what does it say? He's no respecter of persons. Yes. I'm not talking about Solomon. I'm talking about Kenyans. Yes. The man, you know, after not seeing all that inconsistency between the figures in W-2s, and the grades, he said, and you, sir, how can you make this and this? We're pulling doubles, two jobs. And I'm trying to finish a PhD. This is crazy family. You know the question that came out? Where are you all from? Okay, good. And let me tell you, I have never felt prouder. Sing that word, Jamhuri. Woo-hoo! good, man. I said, oh, yeah, we come from Kenya. Jesus, I felt so good. That's us. Somebody says, that's us. That's what we're made of. We are go-getters. We are go-getters. Come on now. We do not lag behind. The Bible says we are not of the company that draws back in faithlessness, but we are of the company of those who believe to the salvation of their souls. That's us. We're go-getters. We are go-getters, I'm telling you. And now, what am I saying? I'm saying praise will get you there. When they go and get stuff, the tough get onto their knees and they worship the Lord. God has heard your cry. God has seen your struggle. Don't think that he has not seen. His eyes are not closed. And he has heard even your cry. He knows your pain. But I was sent by God to remind you that in your struggle, because you have to fight. You've been fighting. It's a fight. Dibara. Nimanebara. We have nivita. Because there are some mambo mengine thindiyako, some things against your very survival. Some things that are orchestrated. You know, you try to do this, you can't get it. One time we tried to buy a house, we were told we can't qualify because we are not Kenyan. Because that thing is we're not American. See, I just think Kenyan. Africa, man. Africa. That's us. That's us. We can't qualify. You can't even apply for FAFSA. You have to think positively of the negatives that you find yourself in. Somebody's crying because they cannot get a loan for school. While you struggle and you educate your children without loans, and they get out without a loan. The other day, an American child was said that, remember that David, he said, I think, was it 47 or 57 that he owed? He graduated this year. They've already started billing him. I looked at my kids and I said, that's what I gave you, each one of you. Because you don't have a bill. Amen? No charge. But those guys have a bill. So I may cry I didn't get a loan for my kids, but you know what? I think it's a positive too. The Bible says all things work together, finish it, for good to them that love the Lord. That situation that you happen to be in, God has seen it. So he sent me to remind you that in your struggles, you have tried fighting and using all that you can. Working double, mama. You're still doing it to this day. Working hard. Midnight shift. Doing the things God has seen you. He has seen your struggle. But he has sent me to remind you that in your struggle, there is something you are not using effectively. That's why I'm here. There is one weapon that you have kind of forgotten. Let me illustrate. I come from Kenya. Kenya is in Africa. And among the people of Eastern and Central Africa and Southern Africa, they have a weapon called a rungu. It's called a club in English, or knobkerry. That's another word for it. Knobkerry. Among my people and the Maasai, the people of Kenya, they would carry it, and they would have an upholster or a holster, you know, like they put a gun, a holster to carry it. When you finished using it, you slip it in there, and so you're not holding it. You know, that carrier of the knobkerry, that carrier of the club is called in my language, gonyi. Now, I'm going somewhere. Just. Let me teach you some language. So when in combat, close combat, when we are fighting our enemies, and Pastor, you are there and I'm here, and we are fighting these enemies, sometimes you may see that I'm being beaten. Because you watch, you watch one another, and we are fighting, and we're struggling, and you see that I'm being beaten because I'm only using one weapon. It was the work of the warrior to remind his fellow warrior, hey, wadiomo, jogomago nyine. You had a club in your upholstery, jogomago nyine. God told me, go and tell those people, jogomago nyine, remember that you have a club in your upholstery. You just need one, and you aim it to the forehead of your enemy, and your Goliath will be gone in Jesus' name. Jogomango nyine, jogomango nyine, jogomango nyine, jogomango nyine. Remember, you just need to give him one because he is close, and all you need is to pull it out. And then in the name of Jesus, aim to that devil, and that devil will be defeated in Jesus' name. Now I know you want to know what that club is. I know you want to know what that knob carry is. That's praise. Thank you. Who said worship? Yeah. It's praise. Jogomango nyine. Club in the knob curry. God said, go and remind them. Tough times will always be there. God has not left you alone. Tough times will always be there. It's a man called Robert Schuller. He is the author of a beautiful book that I would recommend to every adult here to try and acquaint yourself with it. The book is called Tough Times Never Last. Tough people do. Some people are very smart. I wish I could be that smart and write books like that. Tough times never last. But tough people do. He advises us that a problem-free life is an illusion. He says it's a mirage in the desert. Accept the fact that everyone, Kenyan, American, African, Asian, everyone has problems. This will help you to move on with your life rather than sitting down into a pity party. Get out of your pity party and know that this comes to every human being. Life is the meaning of struggle. Every human being has problems. In our text this morning, we read about two people who had problems. King Jehoshaphat was dealing with a military invasion. He had a war to fight. Paul and Silas had been thrown in prison because they had cast a spirit of divination out of a girl at Philippi. They had been beaten all day. And in jail, they were fastened in stocks, which clamped their arms and legs in an immobile position, causing clamps and loss of circulation. I'm telling you, that atmosphere was depressing. Because according to the standards of the day, a prison was like the resemblance of what we would call a dungeon. And in that situation, they decided to pull that weapon called praise. And those who used that weapon called praise, when all and you have tried everything else, try praise. Because praise will do a few things to you in terms of working for your success. If you can just realize that you can praise God anywhere, even in a pig pen, you can praise the Lord. But how can I sing the Lord's song in a fallen land? See, that's what they did. They were in Babylon. And back there, instead of singing the song of praise in prison, they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Where else should I sing the Lord's song but in a foreign land? I am going to sing the Lord's song here in a foreign land. Thank God for a foreign land. Thank God for the difficulties of living in a foreign land. because it makes me strong. Amen. It gives me the audacity to believe in the promises of God. Oh yes, they should have cut their time in prison by singing the Lord's song. You think what would have happened if on the Egyptian side of the Red Sea, the Israelites would have been wiser and start praising the Lord instead of complaining. When the Lord took them over, they said, now it's time to get the tambourine and the drum and let's praise the Lord. Where was that praise on the other side of the Red Sea? I challenge you by the mercies of God. When you are in the middle of your problem, make it an occasion to just praise the Lord. The Bible says to be thankful in every situation. In all things, be thankful. Not for all things. Will think you're stupid or maybe sick if you start thanking God that your child has been admitted in hospital. God, I thank you that my son has pneumonia. We're going to bind you right now. If you pray like that, the Bible does not say pray, you know, thank God for those things. It says in those things. I want to thank you for this situation that I happen to be in. I want to bless the Lord right now. So you stand up and you just clap. And this is how you do it. You just start to sing a song. You can make it up even. You can just start to praise. And praise will come. Let me quickly tell you what praise will do to you. What that nobkeri, what that rungu will do for you if you praise. The first thing is that praise gets our focus on God. How many of you know that when you're looking at the problem, you begin to see the problem as being insurmountable? You're too close to it. You're too close. But if you can do one thing, to throw your eyes to the Lord, the psalmist said, I will look unto the hills, from whence doth my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. If you focus on Jesus Christ, focus on Jesus Christ and not on your problem. Many times we tell the Lord about our problems more than we tell the Lord about the Lord. God, I don't have a job. I don't have a job. I don't have a job. God, you know, I don't. I. Problem, 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 blah, blah, blah. Well, he wants to hear you tell him about him. God, I thank you for you are awesome. I thank your beauty of holiness. I'm going to talk about it for a minute. A beauty of holiness. How beautiful you are. How majestic you are. Somebody say beauty of holiness. How awesome you are. How splendid. How magnificent. You are awesome. God, I love you. A day spent with you is better than a million spent elsewhere. Thank you, Jesus. Just find words to extol him and praise him and sanctify him because he is awesome.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let it be about him, not about you. Amen. When you go to speak to him. Not your problem, his glory. Here is your problem. Here is his glory. Say the big things. What is tuition? And it is big. Tuition is big. It scares me, to be honest with you. It does. You know what? I thank God that I know the principle. Okay, Donna. You are bothering me too much, tuition. My kids will finish school. But wake up, just stay there. God, I just thank you for your awesome. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow down before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God. And my head is so full of the greatness of God. When I go to the little problem, I can't even see it. It is so minute and insignificant. because my head and my heart is full of the greatness of the Lord. That is how you win. Now, what does that do? Because now I'm beginning to see the insignificance, the minuteness of my problem. Then I'm like, Goja. Now I can walk. It begins to refocus and to reorganize your mind. Everybody, can you know it's a mental thing? Even before the Lord works on a miracle, do you know the greatest miracle that the Lord needs to work on is your mind? Not the problem. You are able to overcome the problem. But you are too close to the dwarf that you are seeing the dwarf as a giant. If you went away and go to the company of the Lord and you have the Lord right here, now you are problem, you can't even see him. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yes. Learn to run to the Lord. There was a sister over there in that city that will not be mentioned that she was driving to work one morning, and I don't know what was wrong, whether speeding or whether it was one of the rights or whatever, but she saw the red and blue lights behind her, and oh my God, and her stomach was filled with cold water because Kanaba. Jesus. She wants to sweat. She's scared, man. But then she remembered she is the daughter of a king. She's not stealing anybody's money. This. I wish I could tell you, the God of Nyahururu is the God of here. Yes. Amen. That's what I say. I don't know what you say. Yes. Who created this country? Don't call me illegal here. When will we go? And I have to make it. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. God brought me here with a purpose. And until that purpose is accomplished, even you cannot send me away. I mean, it gives you a certain audacity. Don't be proud. Notice the difference between being proud and audacity. There's a difference. Pride and being haughty is condemned by God. But the audacity of faith in Jesus Christ, who says, I'm the son of the king. I don't know what you want to say. You can categorize me and put me, he's black, he's all that. You can do all that. But I'm a child of a king. When I was young, people used to call me Prince Solomon. Because that's what all I preached. I'm a child of a king. Didn't have a shoe on my feet. I'm a child of a king. Woo! Looking after goats on the slopes of Mount Kenya. Son of a king. Tattered uniform. Son of a king. No even tin lamp. Sometimes tin lamps, but no oil. You have to stand it with the, what do you call, fire. You know, one time I remember in Nyahururu, I was informed too, trying to finish an assignment for tomorrow. Because, you know, I was in a day school. And this is a fire. I go close to the fire. You know, the fire is, you know, it's about to burn my textbook. That boy that was trying to struggle in form two to make it, he is now a professor somewhere. Amen. There is a God. Amen. I'm not talking about the professor. I'm talking about the God. Amen. Who can pick a little boy, skinny, jigger-infested little boy from the backwoods of nowhere. and put him at a university chair in a great country like America. What God can do for that little boy, he can do for you. And for you, and for you, and for you. And that boy is not talking about himself. That boy wants you not to look at that boy, but look at Jesus and begin to praise him, because it is Jesus who can do these things for you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How can you hear that and not join Jesus, 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 Jesus? Quit focusing on your problems. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. If they tell you you can't make it because of whatever they say, you won't make it. Just start saying, Jesus, you know the way through the wilderness. All we need to do is to follow you, Jesus. When you close one door, you open another one. Let me tell you one story. Not too long ago, I was a very scared boy. I was called to the office of the number two of the university. Number two, that's very high. Between me and that person, a lot of offices, a lot of pay grades. Can you come here with the file of student so-and-so? And everything, every record you have about her. This is the vice president, number two. Look at here, what could it be? So I start looking for what is it, fees, is it what, is it grades, is it that? And I'm thinking, why am I bringing this story? I'm bringing this story because it scared me. And for 10 minutes, and I was given 10 minutes. Oh, now I can talk to you, 10 minutes. Telling you, I was harassed. That's the word I used to her. So I'm going upstairs to her office with a little folder, and I say, "No, Kari Kikik. Why am I sweating? What is this? Wait a minute. You know, I stopped climbing the stairs. I said, wait, Solomon, stop. What is this? If God gave you this job. God, if it is over, God will give me another one." I started beefing myself. As I focused myself from the problem to the Lord, I began feeling like this. I puffed myself up with praise. I said, "God is greater than this. Lord, I'm going into this office. I don't know what is in this office. If it is my dismissal, Lord, I want to thank you for the 6 years that I have worked here. And Lord, I want to thank you for the next one." Because when you close a door, you always open another one. Thank you for making my time here pleasant. Instead of me thinking, "Oh, you're the Kahara." No. Let me focus on the Lord. Let me tell you, when I opened, oh my goodness, that lady has never seen such a big. I was not bullish or prideful, but I was not scared. Okay, what's going on, ma'am? I wish you had told me what it is that you needed. I was not speaking to a vice president, man. I'm speaking to a fellow worker. God has already. Not pride. But fear is gone. Do you know why the Bible says fear is torment? It's a punishment. I refuse to be punished in Jesus' name. Fear is punishment. Why am I being punished here? After we solved the problem, because it took only a few minutes, I had everything together. She said, thank you. If everybody was doing like you, if all department heads were doing like you, Doc, we would be okay. I said, "I have something to tell you. I want you to know that between me and you are several pay grades. When you call somebody little like me, you need to be more clear. You harassed me today." I mean, she was on the receiving end. "You harassed me today because I didn't know." And you said 10 minutes. and I didn't know what you wanted. Do you know the difference between me and you, ma'am? She said, oh, I'm sorry, Doc. I'm sorry. I got a sorry from her. Don't you understand? I got a sorry. Even when I told the other chairs, they were like, she said sorry? Oh, yeah. I refuse to be harassed. Not harassment, you know, legally, but I'm talking psychologically. You feel, because somebody is messing you up. Go to Jesus. He will make you strong. You will begin to see that the end of a road is the beginning of another one. He knows the way through the wilderness. All you need to know is to go where he is and follow him. So focus on Jesus. And I have to run to finish, you know, trust in the Lord in all that with all thy might. Church, can you say it with me? And lean not to your own understanding in all thy ways. And he will do what? Be not wise in thine own eyes, for the fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel. Health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. The second thing that praise will do to you is that it will elevate us into God's presence. I don't know anywhere else better in life and in death than in the presence of God. The presence of God. Now, presence of God, I'm talking about when you feel he is around. Some of you need to know how to bring God to your situation. Because you look, you don't find him. And when you don't find him, you're fearful. I am telling you, those of us that have learned to pull his presence, and there is only one way to pull his presence. Now listen to the principle, because I can't teach too long. Pastor will have to expound this for you. But let me tell you what. The Bible says that he dwells in the praise of his people. Amen. You get that principle? That's where he lives. So wherever there is praise, the Lord has to come. Jesus put it this way. He said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in their midst. So if you begin to gather in his name, if you're doing it him, and you know, when I'm alone, I say, you know, my wife is not here, but Jesus, I know her spirit is here, and Jesus, you are here, and God the Father is here. And all the holy angels are here. We are a mighty company of faith. And we rebuke this in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is there in your midst. Praise brings heaven down. Let me tell you the principle. Let me just break it for you. When, this is how I say it. When praises go up, his glory comes down. When praises go up, his glory comes down. I wish you would write that. When praises go up, God's glory comes down. I don't care where you are. I don't care who you are. You say, but I'm a sinner, Pastor. No. It didn't say when holy people praise God, God comes down. It said when praises go up. So just open that mouth and just praise him in the midst of your problem, and God will come to that problem. Amen. He will come right there. Right there. Right there. And he is no respecter of persons. Praise elevates us to the presence of God. We begin to feel that God is there. When Paul and Silas were in prison, what happened was that when they praised God, God came to their situation. God came there. God came there. Now, let me tell you something about when God comes. When God comes, y'all, he comes in an earthquake. He comes. He's an earthquake. He's a problem shaker. He's a prison foundation shaker. Prison door opener. Is anybody here feel like you're in a prison? You are in a situation that you cannot, this is undoable. Nobody can help me out of here. Let me tell you, there is one that is called a prison shaker. His name is Jesus. Just invite him to your prison. It could be the innermost prison. But Jesus will come there, shaking and troubling the whole place. I'm telling you, David's army praised the beauty of holiness. The host of heaven came and destroyed the enemies. God gave them a mighty deliverance when they praised the beauty of holiness. When Jehoshaphat, his army, as we read, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, God sent ambushes against the enemy. And what did God do? God gave them a mighty victory when they praised the beauty of holiness. Just the beauty of holiness. Let me close by saying God is no respecter of persons. If you praise the Lord in the face of your problem, not talk about your problem, just praise the Lord in the face of your problem, then God will always, always give you a mighty victory. He did it in the past. He is willing to do it for you. Whatever it is that you need from God, God always gives them a mighty victory when they praised the beauty of holiness. Oh, I want to praise that beauty of holiness. Is there anybody who can praise the beauty of holiness? Can you say thank you, Jesus, right now? Thank you, Jesus. And say it like you mean it. Thank you, Jesus. Not for anything, not for your house, not for your car, not for your job, not being in America. Just thank you, Jesus. I bless your holy name, God. Oh, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. Why am I praising you? Because you are worthy to be praised. If you had not blessed me with a beautiful wife, I still would have blessed you. If you have not blessed me with beautiful children, I still would have blessed you. You are not God because you bless me. You are God because you are God. If there is anything we have to teach Western people, I say we are here as prophets to teach people here how to worship. Think of it this way. A millionaire takes a pistol, blows his brains out because he lost $2 million. Now he only has $10 million. You know, if you ask me, I will call that idiocy. But let's not talk about that. To me, it's idiocy. I mean, you still have millions, but you're blowing your brains out. Okay? Go to Ethiopia or to the shores of Lake Turkana. It's dry everywhere. It's still 2 days before we can go to the chief's camp to get some more food, relief food. They come every Tuesday. What am I going to do? And the woman says, we got to survive because the rains will come. And when the rains come here in Turkana, greens everywhere. You can go with a basket and just food everywhere, berries and things growing on trees. We got to wait for that blessing to come. We won't die today. We will not die today. But there's very little meal. So she goes and finds dirt, grinds it and cleans it and adds it to the meal. That's a true story. What is he doing? We gotta make it. We gotta make it. We gotta make it. The millionaire somewhere is blowing his brains for losing $2 million and being left with 10. This Turkana woman is saying, we gotta see the light of tomorrow. God is a faithful God. God will not leave us. What am I talking about? What does that woman have to praise God for? Say nothing. But God, your God. All by yourself. You are not helped by your miracles to be God. You are not helped by your goodness. You are just God all by yourself. And I will praise you, for you are God and there is no other. Oh, I wish you, your Africans would praise God like Africans in the middle of all the people of the world, so that they begin to see that you don't have to praise God for a cataract or a beautiful house or being a Dr. David or anything else. You just thank the Lord for being God. He is God. He is God. He is God. Yes, he is God. and his mercies endure forever. So I say this. I say, if you thank God for who he is, then God will come to your situation. I say, when in pain, thank him. When in pain, praise him. When you're suffering, praise him. Praise him in every situation. Yeah, even when you have no money, praise him. And when you have money, praise him. When you are jobless, praise him. And when you have no job, when you that's the same thing. When you get a job, praise him. Don't be like David's friend. David was telling me, man, this man was going through a divorce, and all the time he came to prayer meetings and y'all pray for me, and he would cry and pray for me, pray for me. When they got back together, the man were never seen. No more prayers. We don't need God right now. We need to save this nation from the 9/11 kind of spirituality, where when there is something like that, if you look at the charts of church attendance, David does those kinds of studies. You know, you can look at church attendance in the U.S. in September of 2011. Whew! There are no atheists. Even atheists were praying back then. October, November, December. We go back to being ourselves. And we're seeing. You do not have to come to church because God has got, because you need something from God. I don't need, God, even if you didn't have heaven to go to, I would just want to live with you. Even if I know heaven is there, it's there for me to gain. But you know what? Even if there is no heaven, Jesus, I just want to be in your company. If you came back and you said there is no heaven to go, but I say, where are you going? There's no heaven? Yeah. Where are we going? Because where you are, that's where I want to be. That will help you from just staying away from all this nonsense. Let me call it nonsense of saying, is Jesus coming mid-trib, pre, you know those things? Would he come in the middle of the tribulation or after the tribulation? They argue till they're blue in the face. It doesn't matter when he comes. I'm just waiting for him to come. When he comes at the middle, at the end, under, over, he is coming, and I am ready for his coming. So I am telling somebody today to praise the beauty of holiness in all your life, everywhere you are, when you are sick, when you are in health, when you are happy, when you are unhappy, when you are in trouble, when you are out of trouble. Just praise the Lord. Stand up, everybody. I taught you this morning, untethered praise. Praise for no reason. I want us to praise God for no reason. Right now, honey, I love you, but let me tell you, when I come to praise God for no reason, I don't even mention you. David, Elizabeth, Priscilla, all of you, I love you, my kids, Ezra, but you know what? I'm going to praise God for no reason. I just want to praise him for being God. I want to praise him for being holy. Oh, let's start doing that right now. Oh, we thank you, God. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, God. We bless your holy name. What a mighty, mighty, mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. We want to bless your holy name. We bless the beauty of holiness in this church, oh God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for revealing yourself to us, oh God. God of gods, oh Father of lights, King of glory. We adore you, we bless you, we magnify you, oh God. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Bwana usehemu yangu,
Rafiki yangu wewe katika safari yangu. Pamoja Hallelujah, pamoja na haro katika safari yangu tatembea nawe mahali hapa sikutaka ili niheshimiwe haya ni kutema shaka sawa sawa na wewe o pamoja na wewe haleluya pamoja pamoja na wewe kutema shaka sawa sawa Somebody who wants to say like Job this afternoon, God, I come to you just as I am. I want to thank you for who you are. Job said, God gave me, God took them away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me finish by telling you the secret of that kind of attitude, that kind of worship, that kind of praise. When you come to God with a mind that has been emptied of all other ideas and concepts, but just to worship Him, then God opens the windows of heaven to bless you. He will bless you exceedingly, abundantly, even above more than you can think or imagine. If you worship Him using this principle, when you worship as God, not because of what He has done, not because of what you want Him to do, but because of who He is, then God comes down to your situation. Job was paid everything that he had lost, double. Somebody is going to be blessed by God in this church. Double. If you praise God for who God is. If you have a need, this is your time right now. Let us worship that God. Come out here. We will pray for you. We will pray for you. Do not waste time. Come out here. I don't have a lot of time. If you need that God, who is a God all by himself. If you have a need, let us take it before God right now. Oh, what a why do we miss out on God because we do not take things to God in prayer? Are you there? Come out quickly in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer, this is your minute. This is your time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I promise you, we're not even going to say your problem. We're not even going to mention it, y'all. We're just going to worship the beauty of holiness. Do you hear me? Just worship, begin right now to worship the beauty of holiness. Are you there? Are you coming? You can join these two. Come on, church, let's worship the beauty of holiness. We thank you, God. We just lift your voice to Him. Lift your voice. Shout His name. Shout His name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh,